I'm Zach Peterson, Naval Postgraduate School. This is joint work that I did with some colleagues there, Mark Gondry and Rob Beverly. Okay, I'm really surprised we haven't seen this more often today. Who doesn't love this icon? But this is the abstract we've chosen for where we store our data in the cloud, right? It's out there someplace. Now, where does that mean in terms of geolocation? Well, generally, this is what it means. It's somewhere in the galaxy, right? And for a lot of people, that's okay, right? It's data that is available. I don't care where it's stored so long as I can get to it. But I'm here to argue that maybe we do care where it is geographically. For example, we might care that it's here, or maybe we even care that it's here. So we're kind of positing we might need to break the abstraction here for two reasons. One, that it's in some sort of political boundary. So for example, as an individual, do I get Fourth Amendment search and seizure protections, constitutionally protections, if it's stored in a data center overseas? Unclear at this point. If I'm an organization, I've got intellectual property, and it's stored at in a country that does not have, not part of WIPO, does not have reciprocal intellectual property laws, do I get IP protection? And then there are a whole slew of laws, and they're not stopping from both nation states and individual states about how data flows and where data needs to be stored, particularly private data, for example, medical records, right? The second part about breaking the abstraction that might be important is, so this is, you know, is data in one place? Well, and it's also important, is data in multiple places? So a lot of cloud service providers replicate your data for, let's say, disaster recovery. Let's say a tornado hits one of the data centers. Well, how do you know that they're actually doing that? Okay. So the existing notions of locations in the cloud are pretty weak and coarse-grained, right? So they offer regions of service. And this is generally for pricing reasons. But don't necessarily mean your data is actually stored there. There are content distribution networks, which means your data are stored close to the people for performance reasons, but not necessarily given a specific geographic location. Okay, so, and both of these two things are only weakly coupled by service level agreements and quality of service metrics, right? There are no interfaces or external techniques we can use to query the storage service provider as to where the data is actually located. Okay, so that brings us to our idea of data sovereignty. Right, so we want to come up with some protocols that assume an adversarial storage service provider, and we are able to efficiently locate our data, that our data is authentic, and that we can do it with such granularity that it has maybe legal meaning, right? It's within some political boundary of a nation state, for example. Now, what is in scope, right, to the reviewers, the fine reviewers of our paper pointed this out, right? So what is in scope? That we can identify some copy of our data is within some geographical boundary. Not any copy, right? We consider this a pretty interesting, but also a pretty hard problem, right? When data leaves the system, it may be pretty hard to track. All right, so our techniques, our focus of this research is really on finding at least a copy of your data. And this might have some legal weight, at least in, you know, US courts. Okay, so how do we achieve this? Well, there are essentially two techniques that we're kind of leveraging here. The first is geolocation of hosts, right? So this is, can we find some server, the location of some server on the internet or in the cloud? All right, there's a couple different ways you can do this. One is a pretty easy evidence gathering, right? You can do a whois record. You can do extrinsic evidence, such as going to the web page and see if it's written in Chinese, or do they put their business address on it, right? That gives you some notion of where the server might be located. There are also network delay-based measurement techniques you can do. So you can send a ping out, you can measure how long it takes back, and it's very hard for even an adversarial host to break the speed of light, right? So we can, you know, prescribe some sort of distance metric. If you're interested in this, let me point you to the most recent publication in NSDI this year, which is not only has a great survey of existing work in the field, but they posit a multi-tiered solution to coming down to street-level geolocation, like down to, I think, 50 or 60 meters. Pretty spectacular. All right, so that's how we locate hosts in the cloud, right? This isn't locating data yet. The second technique that we leverage is possession of data, right? Are you indeed holding the data I asked you to? So there's a series of protocols, sometimes called PDP, right, provable data possession, or POR, proofs of retrievability, that allow me to probabilistically check to see whether you are indeed holding the data that I asked you to without actually having to have a copy myself and doing this in a very efficient way, right? So we want to minimize the storage, computation, and communication complexity. There are a lot of different ways of doing this, one with RSA signatures, homomorphic signatures, PRFs, and MAX. Now, the problem here is that you can't just combine these two in a very naive way. So for example, serially, right? This provides pretty limited assurance. What it shows you is that the data exists somewhere, right? Yet my data is out there, and that the person who responded to my query is in within some physical bound, but not that the data exists within some physical bound. Okay. An additional challenge here is that we consider a pretty powerful adversary. So if a storage service provider has really gone rogue on you, right, they may be actively trying to lie to you. So they may act as a proxy. So there might be the person who you query might be within the United States, but they're actually storing your data overseas. They may cache subsets of the data, so they can try to, if you're challenging them in a probabilistic way, meaning you're only asking for some subset of the block, they might try to keep those so that you can beat them, so you can beat your game. And they might try to manipulate delay measurements. Now, what's nice about that last one is that our problem, as I said, where you can't break the speed of light, so all they can really do is add time, which just puts them farther away from you. Okay, so that's nice for us, right? Because we want to keep them within some bound, not outside some bound. All right, so let me posit a pretty simple, but at least an initial approach to solving this. What we're going to do is leverage the MAC PDP. And here's a brief overview of how that works. You MAC each block in your file, and you generate some tag, which we call T here. You then store the data and the tag, and then you challenge some random subset of them. You bring the block back and the tag, you recompute it and see if it's the same. Okay. Now what we do is then augment MAC PDP with a network delay measurement. So we can query the blocks one at a time, measure how long it takes to get back. So this not only verifies the data that we're getting back, but also calculates some distance. And so if you do this from a single challenger, you might be able to generate some radial distance from where you are. But if you do it with multiple challengers, you might be able to triangulate exactly where that data is coming from. Okay, so what's nice about the MAC PDP requires no server-side computation, which might introduce some latency, right? So latency is a big contributor to distance here, so we want to minimize that on the server side. It also can be implemented right now on existing infrastructure, right? The problem is it comes at a pretty high communication cost, right? You're communicating at least C times the number, your block size, right? And as we saw earlier, that data communication is very expensive. Okay, it's also susceptible to any kind of delay that's added either by the host, by the storage service provider or anywhere along the path, right? So even if the person's acting honestly, we're not so sure that our technique is going to produce valid results, which leads us to, we need to evaluate this. So here's some open questions in this space. We really want to implement something like this. That's what the summer is for. Also, interesting question, where do you place these landmarks that map, let's say, to political boundaries? We're also interested in developing things that are more efficient and maybe less adversarial. So can we do this giving existing infrastructure? Are there other PDP protocols we can implement? Can we do this if we posit some sort of future infrastructure? For example, if we have some sort of trusted TPM device or non-clonable cryptographic device, can we do that? Which then leads to this question, are there ways of binding computation to a location? If we're able to do that, we might be able to solve a lot of these other problems. Okay, I'll take your questions.
Yeah, so as you said, that if you are interested in keeping your data inside a certain region, this technique can certainly help. But what if you want other way? Let's say I'm from, you know, a country like Iran or something. I don't want to put my data inside the country. I want to ensure that the data is outside the country, right? And in that case, an adversarial provider can manipulate the delay, right? He can just add arbitrary delay and make it look like that it's coming from farther out, which, when it's actually not, right?
I see. So if you want to make it look like it's not coming from inside.
Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's the way the speed of light works, right? It's
yeah, I mean, it's only one way verification in a way, right?
Exactly, exactly. But that's an interesting question, right? If we can solve the opposite problem.
Right.
And again, right, maybe doing some sort of computation binding to a location might solve this exact problem. Yeah, thank you.
Chris Colahan from Google. I was just wondering, do I need to retain a copy of the data to verify that you have a copy of the data somewhere else? Or can I do this without retaining my copy because I entrusted my data to you?
Well, this is what the PDP and POR protocols try to solve.
Okay.
That
okay.
It, as I, and I'm sorry, I kind of went through that and given only 10 minutes here. So in the MAC PDP protocol, all a client needs to store is that MAC key K, right?
Okay.
That's it. Because if they're able to recompute the MAC, no one else should be able to recompute that.
Okay.
And so they can verify it without receiving the data back. There are other techniques where you don't actually have to send the data back. In fact, I was on a paper in CCS where you were able to do essentially these homomorphic signatures and combine them into one signature and then verify that signature was computed correctly.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
From what I gather of what you've done so far, it seems like maybe the only legal side of this that you may get to is something that says if I can show a copy was in this particular location, then I get some level of protection. Where in the legal framework does that fit with any of the goals of the work?
So by binding data to a location, let's say within the United States, within some jurisdiction, right? I mean, data jurisdiction was actually one of the earlier project names we had for it, was that it at least provides some like non-plausible deniability, right? That the organization has been shown to have stored the data and that now an actor, whether inside or outside the United States, has stolen my data, let's say intellectual property, right? I can now say, like, look, this data was here. They were responsible for it. Now, if they say, well, we've contracted with some overseas data center and, you know, we can't be responsible for, you know, the Bangalore government or something like that, that that is maybe a way of getting out of litigation. Or out of responsibility.
So it sounds like then it's aligned right now with the IP side of your goals. Is that?
That's how I answered that question.
Yep.
Right. I think similar things can be said about privacy violations for, let's say, medical records or Fourth Amendment search and seizure. Right. If you know that your data was stored in the United States, well, and yeah, it's worth thinking about. It's worth thinking about. Thank you. That's right. Yeah. No, we tried.
Medical records, that also is an issue, right? You know, for backup for whatever reason the cloud provider may be doing that, and there is no way.
There's no way of like tracking records that leave the system, right? Or copies are made, right? But again, we're trying to provide some sort of techniques that allow you to at least show that data. At least the data is here, and that they can be held accountable to the jurisdiction that data is being stored in.
Okay, so maybe we can take the rest of the questions during the time.
Great, thank you.